turn it over to Dahlia.
Thank you, John. Before I introduce our project team, I want you to thank the community of practice, not only for inviting us to give a presentation, but for your congenial colleagueship on this road to progress. The two team members who really did the backbone of the work are sitting at the back. That's Andrew Buden and John Carter. So if you have technical questions, I'm sure they can answer them much better than I can. Topographic data is the representation of landscape around us as we move through the world. Clearly, the world is much richer in information than what we have had represented on topographic maps or by the digital data. The objective of our research on using semantic technology for the national map is to identify capabilities that would benefit users of the 21st century version of the National Topographic Mapping Program. Specific location topics that they're examining for a semantic version of the national map are in geographic information extraction and in data interoperability. Specific tasks we've approached with approaches up to now are designing algorithms for topographic data handling, converting the topographic data and determining spatial relations for tables, developing concepts, taxonomies, logical axioms for topographic ontology, and building the necessary servers and related systems for processing. The sections of this presentation follow the headings of our project work, critical simulations and complex feature ontologies. We welcome your questions and comments at the end or actually at any time during the presentation. Our data conversion procedures quickly face questions of data volume and building geospatial geometries for specific features. We began with the National Geographic Names Information System, the GNIS Gazetteer. We converted sample data sets of four vector data themes from the national map. Those are hydrography, structures, transportation, and divisions, political divisions. Some particular challenges were retrieving data for proprietary formats, determining a method for representing coordinates, being able to expand the range of semantic properties of data by improving the usability of the data for others. We wanted to interlink the data with a larger semantic community by following established conventions, such as the linked data guidelines. Data files were too large to process at workstations. One sample data area, Atlanta, has taken over 2 weeks to determine spatial relations. So the problem suggests the needs for parallelization. A preliminary automated approach used the first column in each database row as the subject and each other column header as a predicate and column value as string literal objects. This approach successfully converted the data, but not richly enough to take advantage of existing relationships within the data. Vector data files could be graphically represented by the geography markup language, GML. To preserve a vector data in queryable form in RDF, the entire feature member string, that is the GML representation of a single entity, for instance, a line or area, as well as its attribute data, is stored, and the attribute data are extracted and converted to RDF. This approach allows the vector data to be queried normally while still allowing GML representations of the result set to be combined into a valid GML document, able to be processed and displayed using any GIS software. The only major trade-off to be expected using this setup is an increase in required storage space. The unparallelized algorithm is on the order of n squared, and optimally parallelized is on the order of n squared over p. There are a few unparallelizable parts, like input-output, but on large data sets, the parts are insignificant. Literal values from the database representing other resources are represented using a reference to the URI of the resource, linking the data through RDF to the current feature. The approach maintains the ability to work with data in the original format, but the data can be accessed through open source libraries and programs or recompiled into proprietary GIS formats when necessary. Queries and accessing the database became much simpler, not requiring a username or password to access the server or as much processing to validate a query. Even if semantic attributes in established GIS and geospatial data technologies are attached to the data files, these properties are not easily shared between data sets. These technical limitations have prevented the easy sharing of attributes between data. Previously accessible data remains available while adding new features easily and securely. Opportunities to enhance the data are increased. The converted data acquired increased data richness, making information available that had to previously be computed. The data allowed more complex data classification and relationships than are easily possible in traditional databases. A virtual doll will be able to scale to large sizes and will be easy and secure to use. This endpoint is available for public access on a joint USGS Missouri University of Science and Technology server. We will be upgrading the server in a month or two. Building a vocabulary of spatial relation predicates and programming the logical reasoning is a major challenge for topographic data. Current GIS attributes are an asset for building a vocabulary. Relations to logical and topographic modeling must be defined, logically formalized, programmed, and articulated to users. Data for which relations can be defined are able to be queried more simply and return data of increased consistency. There is a wealth of predicate terms available in the current USGS data models, though not all of them reflect spatial relations. The USGS supports OGC standards for spatial relation terms, and this work is in progress, but we expect that topologically based terms will be too general for a wide range of topographic science modeling. We are applying a technique that has been tested in other studies, namely to extract spatial relation predicates from feature glossary definitions. We used 668 definitions from three standard sets, the digital line graph data sets, the spatial data transfer system, and the GeoNames feature type definition. We are classifying these verb and spatial preposition pairs into spatial reference systems that are used cognitively and linguistically by diverse users in diverse contexts. This table on the slide is an example of our work and shows four verb preposition pairs that we identified through this method: flow, caused, form, and removed. Another important function of verb preposition pairs is that they reflect feature type primitives, or those feature components that are necessary and sufficient conditions for the feature type to exist. In this example, a complex feature type mine is defined as an excavation of your earth for extracting minerals. Two important concepts form the feature type, minerals and extraction. Also, a mine is a complex feature, meaning that the parts of a mine are interrelated for a shared semantic concept. The component features of our mine example are geometric combinations of points, such as buildings, lines, such as railroads, and areas. Other complex features may be just multiples of a similar object. For example, a lot of trees make a woodland. Properties that may create complexity may be temporal, such as the movement of vehicles, or social, such as labor, regulation, and management. When features are interrelated into groups for a central purpose, they form a complex feature type. The schema of a mind that appears in this example has primitive elements and has secondary or optional components. Typically, complex features depend on resources that extend beyond the limits or boundaries of interest. In addition to their components, complex features connect to broader support systems, such as infrastructure or natural resource systems, such as the hydrology or mineral deposits. Also, all complex features are recognized to appear upon and affect the local landscape of varying extent. The component features and support systems are part of a landscape. This landscape includes references to location systems or ecological regimes or materials that involve the broader locality or region. The interrelation of these three levels of elements, the features, systems, and landscape, build the topography or the environmental context. In the example of a mine, transportation supports the labor and mineral extraction operations of the mine and takes form depending on the landscape, which varies from place to place. Workers may reside adjacent to the mine itself if the mine is an isolated location, or may commute from nearby built-up areas. If developed areas are far from the mine, the transportation may be provided by a company bus. Where the mine is located near residential areas, the road system may be able to support privately owned cars, but if not, if the roads are rough, they may be able to manage certain other types of vehicles. There's a whole lot more that I had about the complexity of mines, which I'm not going to read. So to design the ontology, we developed a taxonomy of topographic science consisting of 6 topography modules: terrain, surface water, ecological regimes, structures, divisions, and events. The objectives of the work that I've described so far are to create a system to support the development of topographic feature ontology patterns for reuse, and to enable those to be linked to other data, similar to the way that relational topographic data is made publicly available. Whoops. I accidentally, let me see if I can go back. Challenges facing a system of this type would be to create ontology patterns so that necessary data can be linked using RDF and OWL, to adhere to RDF and comparable research standards, and building logical reasoning, templates of data, and it is added for testing. To conclude, the USGS is developing an approach to geosemantic topographic data by converting the free, public, and trusted topographic data already collected and tested for the national map, developing a vocabulary of spatial relation predicates to support environmental activities, using a taxonomy structure that supports inference and generalization, and accounts for 3 levels of topographic complexity. Our objectives for 2011 are to develop ontologies for open source repository and to focus on gazetteers as the key to user-friendly interface to the data. A number of publications are available on the web that offer more information about any of these topics or stages of our project. First, there's a number of people here who participated in our 2009 workshop, Ontology for the National Map. They submitted papers that have been published in Cartographica, and that issue is now out. So there's 5 excellent papers, plus an introduction that Lynn and I wrote. We have a book chapter in process that described the topographic data semantics. There's an Autocardo paper that's being reviewed for publication in CAGES on complex features, and a symposium paper examining how topographic data acquire meaning in the practice of science. These publications are all available on our webpage at cgis.usgs.gov. ontology.html, or please talk more with any of us here today if you have questions and comments. Thank you very much.
I think we have time for some questions. Does anybody have a question for Dahlia? I do. Maybe it's Lynn or Dahlia, I'm not sure which, but you've talked about making the ontologies available for others to use. Is there any thought that you've given to maybe moving them a little beyond that into the total federal domain for adoption as kind of a baseline for federal agencies to use?
We have been asked to data, for linked data, or RDF data, and we had planned to make that available through data.gov, but at this time we haven't really thought about making ontologies, participating more widely in the federal sphere with the design of ontologies. We're just not quite there yet, so we will.
I'll put a plug in. I see Mike standing back there. Yeah, as a former staff director for the Federal Geographic Data Committee and involved in the National Spatial Data Infrastructure, I think maybe these ontologies can be of significant value to NSDI development and activities, as you move forward over time. So, that's a personal plug, I guess, that I would put in.
All right, thank you so much.
Josh?
And I guess I'll ask that today. If you want software that's going to have to work on all these relationships, then going to a standard acceptance of the relationship that you're working on is going to be valuable. It can be a minimal set, as you've already shown, just a few operators can go a long way.
The comment was from Josh Lieberman that if we would like that software to work on those ontologies, the more they get adopted as standard practices or core sets, could really go a long way.
We have a...
Now, could you go to the mic?
Okay. We do have some off the commercial software that we're trying to use, but I think an open source option would be a better choice.
There's a question from the chat room from Gianfranco Gilazzo. He had a question on whether you're using any specific taxonomies for the geo objects, and he also wanted to know whether you're considering using something like WordNet to help you, because you're looking at some of these large text descriptions of things.
Yeah, we have looked at WordNet, but we're not using it quite yet. We're still working on those spatial relations that we extracted from sets of geospatial data standards. But it's certainly a very strong linguistic source. We had about a year ago a little prototype for user interface for expanding the feature type terms for voluntary users, for the public. In other words, we had developed a little prototype at one time, and it's on the back burner at this moment, where any user on the internet could enter a term and it would be classified into our topographic feature vocabulary by checking the usability of that term against online dictionaries like Google Definitions or WordNet, and then on the basis of those products, classifying it into an ontology of topographic types. But we will work on that more next year when we get into gazetteers. And the first question was, a taxonomy. At this time, what is working best for us is just simply to have a taxonomy of those six modules that I mentioned, the terrain, the surface water, the ecological regimes, and so forth, because those capture quite a lot that we expect we'll be able to use through the use of inference. And what we really want to work on are the cross relationships outside of the taxonomy. So right now we're just keeping that part really simple.
I just wanted to say a couple of words in terms of a wrap-up of some of the work that we have done. A year ago at the SOCOP workshop, we were asked, I was there, Dahlia was there, and several other people, but the USGS was asked to convert some of our data and make it available to the public. And that's the project that Dahlia has just talked about. And what we have done is we have six watersheds spread across the United States in different terrain regimes and different climate regimes. And those six watersheds, the vector data that she showed, all of those have been converted and are available. We also wanted to work with urban areas, so we converted three urban areas, Atlanta, St. Louis, and New Haven, Connecticut, so we had a coastal area. So all of those nine data sets are available in RDF format. We also installed the Sparkle endpoint on our server, and anyone who's capable of having access to that server, just see us and we'll provide that access. So those are out there. We agreed to do this last year, and I just wanted to state that we've accomplished that. If it had not been for SOCOP, we probably never would have gone in this direction because we essentially found out that this might be important and something of interest at the meeting last year. So I really appreciate the efforts of SOCOP to encourage us to do this and the help that we've gotten from some of the members in making this conversion. So I encourage you to access those data. Let us know what you think. Are the formats right? Something you can use? Do queries work with them off of the Sparkle endpoint? Those kinds of things, the feedback we need to improve the access to these. And before we convert other data, we want to be sure that these are useful and people can take these in. So we thank you for the work that people have helped us in doing this.
Thanks, Lynn.